What's up, everybody? Guess who's hosting a new podcast? No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith. Listen as I pull back the curtain on everything beyond the world of sports, interviewing influential guests, outspoken celebrities, and thought leaders across the political, financial, and social spectrum. You know me, I'll give you my unbiased opinion. A No Mercy episode drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith, a presentation of Cadence 13 and Odyssey Studio, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcast.
Finding the perfect suit can seem impossible, but finding a suit that's perfect for you is simple with Indochino. Choose your favorite fabric and customize every detail. Then submit your measurements online or get measured in-store for a custom made-for-you fit at an incredible price. And with Indochino's fall collection featuring new colors and premium fabrics, you'll be in style all season long. Indochino makes it easy to craft a look that suits you perfectly. Suits start at just $449, and fitted shirts start at just $89. And you can fine-tune every detail, lapels, linings, monograms, and more. Create a personalized wardrobe that doesn't cost a fortune, with options like shirts, casual wear, and outerwear. Want to elevate your look? Indochino lets you make any suit a tux. Design your perfect suit today with Indochino. Get 10% off any purchase of $399 or more with promo code FALLUPDATE at Indochino.com. That's Indochino.com, promo code FALLUPDATE.
Our radio program, that's right, it is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. Hickey, I think this is like the best week of the year. And I know that may be met with a little skepticism because it's really just one day. But if you think about this time of the year, you got college football this weekend, unbelievable, big rivalry games. You have the NFL season now going into week 12. You got hockey underway, basketball. All right, the NBA regular season. Right. Maybe you could do without so far. And not that I'm the biggest soccer guy in the world. And I saw that you had to, of course, tweet about soccer today. Oh, the first soccer game I watched in 8 years. Like every jackass, you got to give an opinion about everything going on. Like, can you even name five players on the U.S. World Cup team?
Christian Pulisic. But I honestly cannot.
It's amazing. Everyone today tweeted about soccer as if their opinions actually matter about soccer. I'm not going to tweet about soccer. I watched the game today. Of course, it ended in a tie. Real exciting, wonderful. But, geez, it's like everyone today tweeting about soccer. Where have you been?
I told you for 8 years, there's no USA hockey, USA soccer to watch. So what am I watching?
But anyway, the biggest reason why this is my favorite week of the year, it's because it's Thanksgiving. And it's all about food, family, football. And it is going to be wonderful on Thursday. I cannot wait to just devour some lasagna, some cookie cake that I'm going to make tonight, a little icebox cake, put that thing in the freezer, and then all the appetizers that come with Thanksgiving as well. I love this time of the year. Is this your favorite week of the year?
No.
Do you like Thanksgiving, though? Don't tell me you're one of those people that hate Thanksgiving.
No. Okay. No, I like it.
Turkey's overrated, by the way. Do you agree with that?
100%. A million percent.
Wow, the first good food take you've ever had on this show.
I don't know
show.
About that, but I would agree that, yes, the turkey, no bueno.
You got to fry it if you're going to do turkey.
And that's dangerous. So please fry responsibly. That is for sure. If you are going to indulge in frying. But you later. This is not my favorite. This is a great week, though.
Okay.
Great football on Thursday.
So what is your favorite week of the year?
I do love the week between Christmas and New Year's. Just because it kind of feels like one long holiday. Even when you're working, it's kind of, you know.
Okay, that's
anticipation
fine.
Of college football playoff. You still have some good NFL games. You got bowls all throughout the week. So I know we're working, but it kind of feels like, not to out myself, it kind of feels like, you know, you're half-assed throughout the week.
Excuse me?
Not me. Not me, per se. But it feels like a mini vacation.
Oh. You know, it just turned out to be your toughest week.
But you got
right
bowl games
Christmas
every day.
Into New Year's.
Everyone's in a good mood because you're in between holidays. Like, you know, you're not like coming off of the doldrums of, oh, the holiday season's over. Now it's like into the depressing stages of winter. It's still like, oh, Christmas was fun, but now here's New Year's right around the corner. So it's like a nice week that everyone's in a pretty good mood for the most part.
Before we get to onside's offside, what is the most overrated holiday out of the big national holidays? What do you think the most overrated holiday is?
I would personally say Halloween. I'm not a big Halloween guy.
And
I love
I
the candy.
I thought you did a great job this year on Halloween.
Thank you.
Dressing up as Dwayne The Rock Johnson. But you also don't have kids. So we're kind of both in that stage of life where, yeah, Halloween, you go to like a Halloween party, something like that. But when you get kids, that's like a nice little
100%. Right. At this stage of my life, I don't have a need or a want to dress up.
What he's telling you is he doesn't like family. So that's why he hates Halloween.
No, Halloween's not a family affair.
Yes,
it's like
is.
If I hated Christmas or
Thanksgiving.
Yes, it is. Halloween's
a family affair. In terms of,
I don't have a family.
Yeah, I'm saying like dad, mom,
I'm not going home to hang out with them.
You go trick or treating, all that stuff. I'm not saying you now in this stage.
I think more Halloween. Maybe it's just a stage of my life. More degenerates, more kids, teenagers out there spraying, spray paint and shaving cream, and
you're not
egging houses.
I just said it, and you said it as well. You're not in that stage of life. But when you, let's say, finally get married to Lolly, and then you guys have kids, however many years down the road, and those kids are like 6 or 7, you're going to enjoy Halloween. Guarantee.
I'm not saying I won't.
You're going to dress up. You're going to walk around the neighborhood. They're going to be like, oh, that's that hot take Hickey with his kids.
I hope not.
They're going to be dressed up as hot takes, just all your bad takes.
Don't want to get egged.
Yeah. And then that's what's going to happen. But I think so your most overrated holiday is Halloween.
Correct.
I like Halloween. I think the most overrated holiday, New Year's.
Oh, New Year's is fun. It's a random holiday for
all
no reason.
Overpriced, dinner too expensive, going out's too expensive. I'm kind of starting to be out on New Year's.
Well, it depends how you do it. I guess that's the key.
Okay, so what's your New Year's?
Well, I would not go out to dinner. That's 100% sure. No way.
Out to dinner is fine. But when you have to go to a club or something like that, it's all overpriced and it's just not worth it.
You dress up nice. It's for one night. You dress up, pretty fancy. You go drink some booze. It's usually during the week. So it's just,
apartment,
nice little respite.
House party is the way to do New Year's.
I'm not saying you're wrong. Yeah. That's also a great way to do it.
Okay.
By the way, hey, it's a good time to celebrate.
I love 4th of July. Love Thanksgiving. Love Christmas. Halloween I do like as well. Any other holidays, big holidays?
Memorial
Day weekend's
great
good.
Weekend.
Now, obviously for Memorial Day weekend, a big importance, you got to remember the people that did make the ultimate sacrifice, but a great barbecue weekend, there's no doubt about that.
Unofficial start, or the official start of summer, I should say.
I love Labor Day too. Labor Day weekend's always fun.
Hate summer's ending, but college football is kicking off.
Yeah, but
it's
also
a great
for
weekend.
Us, it's like right before the start of the big rush, so it's like our last off time. Anyway, 5 questions, 5 answers, onside, offside. We don't need to hear Hickey's holiday takes anymore. Let's get to it.
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's onsides, offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, HTH, what do you got for me?
Let's start, Zach, with college football because it was an unexpectedly wild weekend for a few teams at the top.
More teams bite the dust. More teams that we don't need to see get into a 12-team playoff format because it's a waste of time. It's just all for money, and that's why we should keep the college football playoff at 4.
Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, TCU, all 4 of those teams, all 4 top 4 teams in the country, mind you, survive scares.
Yep.
Georgia won by 10. Ohio State won by 12, but needed a late fumble, scoop and score, touchdown, or kind of pull away from Maryland. Michigan needed a last-second field goal to beat Illinois. TCU literally needed a last-second field goal to beat Baylor. Now, Buckeyes, Wolverines, Horned Frogs, like I just mentioned, all needed late wins or late scores to secure their win. Number 5, Tennessee, was not so lucky. They had their playoff hopes dashed with a 63-38 loss to South Carolina. They also did, unfortunately, lose Hendon Hooker to a torn ACL, so their season is over. USC kept their season alive by beating UCLA 48-45.
Before you ask me the question.
Sure.
Tennessee losing. Is that one of the more unexpected losses that you've seen this late in the year? Because last week, the entire conversation was pretty much how Tennessee was a lock to make the college football playoff once either Michigan or Ohio State did go down. I did not hear anyone predict that South Carolina was going to get the victory.
Extremely. Like, I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Like, there's been a few, like, late, like, Baylor beat Kansas State one year in 2012 to help get Notre Dame to the national title game. Yeah, the backyard brawl where Pitt was awful, beat number two West Virginia one year. But this is, like, right up there. Like, this is, like you mentioned, this was supposed to be a cakewalk
they were
for Tennessee. Shooing. 63 points, nonetheless. Mike.
Spencer Rattler, goodness. Six passing touchdowns. Shout out Shane Beamer and Marcus Satterfield.
There was zero answer for Tennessee on defense. That is for sure. So all that chaos slash near chaos that happened on Saturday, Zach, onsides or offsides, Clemson has a legitimate chance to make the college football playoff.
When I watch Clemson, I don't think they're a college football team. But they do have a legitimate shot to make the college football playoff because all you are, you know, either Michigan or Ohio State going to lose this weekend. Then all you are needing of is either TCU to go down or USC, and that's a possibility. Right now, I don't think Clemson's going to get in. I'm still leaning that it's going to be either two formats, Georgia, winner of Michigan, Ohio State, TCU, and USC, potentially. You could maybe have both Michigan and Ohio State both get in, depending on how close that game is and if TCU or USC goes down. I think, though, that it's going to be my most likely thought, though, is that it's going to be Georgia, winner of Michigan, Ohio State, TCU, and USC. With the way that they won this weekend and just survived, I think they're going to find a way both to get in, TCU and USC. But no, Clemson has a shot. A few weeks ago, we didn't think so. Now they have an opportunity. They just need some help along the way.
All right, in the NFL, after hot starts, both New York football teams, so they were humbled on Sunday. The Jets offense mustered.
How about them Jets? 14 straight losses to the Pats. And I heard around this office, everyone wanted to talk to me last week. Oh, Gilb, your Pats are going to go down. Evan Roberts down the hole. Oh, the Jets, I never say this. They're going to blow out the Patriots.
Someone said blow out?
Evan did.
Blowout.
And Evan was the only one that had cojones to come up to me today and have a conversation. Everyone else ran away from me like I was a virus or something because they were afraid. And a lot of my friends, too, texted me. People I haven't heard from in years texted me all throughout last week. Oh, this could be Jets week. This could be Jets week. Then nothing. Nothing. Where are all your cockroaches at? Where you at? I'm taking receipts now.
My goodness. I mean, I don't know where the confidence came from.
Evan today, he goes, I don't like you. He goes, I was wrong. But you didn't know what he was apologizing for.
I did not hear him last week say blowout.
He walked up to me, he goes, I think we're going to win this game by 3 or 4 touchdowns.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
On the road. Well, as you know, the Jets did not win the game, nor did they blow out the Patriots, in part because the Jets offense, for the entire game, mind you, running the ball, and passing the ball, totaled 60 minutes, 103 yards of total offense. Seems almost impossible to do in today's day and age. Jets and Zach Wilson did that, and they did give up a punt return.
It's 7 yards in the second half.
With 5 seconds left in order to lose the game. Talk about disgusting. The Giants,
prime time!
On the other hand, they were not much better. They were ripped apart by the Lions' offense. They lost 31-18. Now, right now, the Giants are 7-3. They do hold a wild card spot right now in the NFC, while the Jets, on the other hand, are 6-4. They are currently the first team out of the AFC playoff picture.
I think you're wrong on that. I thought the Jets were still the 7th seed.
No, the Bengals have the tiebreaker.
Okay, because they beat them.
Yes.
Okay.
Jets are 8th. Bengals are 7th. Onsides or offsides, Zach, either the Jets or Giants will miss the playoffs.
Jets will miss the playoffs. Giants won't. So, onsides.
That's easy. Bing, bang, boom.
Yeah, right. It's pretty easy, right? I still think the Giants are going to find a way to get 2 more wins, bare minimum. So they'll be in the playoffs. And in the AFC, Dolphins, Bills both will make it. Ravens will make it. Titans will make it. Chiefs will make it. So right there, that's what? 5 teams that I just gave you? Chiefs, Titans, Ravens, Bills, Dolphins. So you got 5. 2 spots left. Chargers are in play. Bengals are in play. Patriots are in play. Jets, they lost now both games to the Patriots.
They did.
So they're in a deep, 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 deep hole.
Even with a potential quarterback change coming, not changing your belief.
I still think Zach Wilson's starting this week.
All right. All right. There it is. Nice and simple. Jets, sorry. Nice start.
Do you know who the 10th team is right now? So that's the third team out?
I'm guessing it's going to be the Colts.
Yes, at 4-6-1.
That's right. Yeah. Doing themselves no favors by blowing winnable games, that is for sure. But hey, story of the year.
Yeah.
A week.
Johnny didn't get his ice cream, by the way.
No. Week. I'm glad you take, you know, happiness in a, how old is he? 7 years old? And a 7 year old probably crying yesterday.
I think it's some of the best social media content, but it's good that he didn't get his ice cream this week. Teaches character. You can't always get ice cream.
Well, yesterday's game definitely taught some character, that's for sure.
My he probably could goodness. Have played quarterback better that 7 year old than Zach Wilson yesterday.
He might have been happy the game is over.
You know what? Johnny probably takes more accountability than Zach Wilson.
Johnny may have been happy the punt return happened. That game was tough. End the game. Jets had no shot of winning that game. Only way they're going to win is if Mac Jones threw a pick six. Was that happening? Probably not. That was, you know what? That was destined for a tie.
So
you were destined for a little 6-3-1 record there.
So, you know, my uncle, how I tell him, I tell you all the time, he's like this crazy, sick Patriot fan. I was watching the Sunday night football game with my best friend, who's a Jets fan, and he was wearing his Jets shirt, and it was just a sad scene after the loss. My uncle FaceTimes me. And on the FaceTime, I show him my friend, and he just starts laughing, like cackling. He goes, "Is that a Jet fan?"
Jeez.
So Uncle Gary was feeling good yesterday. Very happy. He goes, "There's nothing like beating the Jets."
Poor Jets fans. My goodness. They would go through a lot, and yesterday was... Yesterday may have been the worst of the 14. That is for sure. A week after an improbable win over the Bills, the Vikings, they were throttled at home by the Cowboys 40-3. Dallas scored on their first 7 possessions of the game as Tony Pollard led the Cowboys in both rushing and receiving yards, totaling 189 of those yards, and did record 3 touchdowns. After the game, owner Jerry Jones said, or 2 touchdowns, excuse me. After the game, owner Jerry Jones did say this Cowboys team is definitely a Super Bowl contender. Onsides or offsides, you agree with Jerry Jones that the Cowboys are a legitimate Super Bowl contender?
Yeah, they're a Super Bowl contender. They were also one last year, and they failed to show up in the wild card round. So there's one thing to be a Super Bowl contender, and then there's another thing to get to the Super Bowl. But you look at the state of the NFC, Minnesota has 2 losses. Both were blowouts by the Eagles and the Cowboys. Philadelphia is good. They're 8-1. They had to come from behind against the Colts, coming off a loss against the Commanders. 49ers, everyone tells me how good they are, but they haven't really showed it this year on the field. We'll see if Tampa can find their groove. Yeah, it's a down year in the NFC. Cowboys have a good team. Therefore, if you're a good team this year, you're a Super Bowl contender. So sure, onsides.
Caleb Williams, he was unreal in USC's win over UCLA on Saturday night. He threw for 470 yards and 2 touchdowns, while adding a 33 yards on the ground and a rushing score as well to drag the Trojans to the victory. Now, over his last 5 games, the USC quarterback is averaging 405 yards of total offense and 4 touchdowns per game. According to Vegas right now, Williams has the 2nd best odds to win the Heisman Trophy behind only C.J. Stroud. Onsides or offsides, Zach, Caleb Williams is your favorite to win the Heisman Trophy.
I think he is the favorite now to win the award. But if Blake Corum plays this week and has 150 rushing yards and 2 touchdowns and Michigan beats Ohio State, then next week I'll say Blake Corum is the favorite to win the award. Now, I think Caleb Williams will win the award if USC wins the Pac-12. Right now they're on track to do that. So without knowing if Blake Corum's going to play next week, yeah, on sides, he's the favorite.
And finally, Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce had a massive night, recording 115 yards.
You could say that again.
And recording 115 yards and 3 touchdowns, including the game winner with just 31 seconds remaining. The 115-yard performance was his 33rd career game of at least 100 receiving yards, which is the most by a tight end in NFL history. After the game, Patrick Mahomes called Kelce the greatest tight end of all time. Onsides or offsides, you agree, Patrick Mahomes, that Travis Kelce is the best tight end in NFL history.
It's so tough because you have so many different eras, like Kellen Winslow, Mike Ditka, Antonio Gates, Tony Gonzalez, Gronk, clearly. There's so many great tight ends in NFL history. In my lifetime, which is only spanning 28 years, I still think there was not a more dominant tight end than Rob Gronkowski, especially the way that Gronk blocked, which I thought was maybe the, in a crazy way, the best part of his game. You know, if you want to go way back, you throw John Mackey into that conversation too. There's so many great tight ends. Let's see where Kelce is at the end of his career. He's a great player. Hall of Famer easily. One of the best tight ends I've ever seen. But to say he's the best right now, yeah, I'm not ready to go there yet. So offside.
Offside.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
So we have heard from Lane Kiffin. We'll tell you in a second. First, you can think of Rally Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. John Sokoloff, who is a reporter that covers the Ole Miss football team, said Lane Kiffin plans to step down as the Rebels coach Friday and head to Auburn to become the Tigers' next head coach. According to sources, sources say the Tigers haven't officially offered the job to anyone yet, so Lane to Auburn is happening, story soon. Lane Kiffin's response, that's news to me, John. Nice sources. Had a facepalm emoji, a stop sign, a chair, a dinner plate with a fork and a knife as well. So Lane Kiffin right now saying that this is news to him. I still think he'll be the next coach of Auburn because A, I've been saying it from the start. B, it makes a lot of sense. But another reason, and I'll give you option number C, is that Hot Take Hickey is already arrogantly posted on social media. 2023 SEC head coaching predictions, Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin, Auburn, Hugh Freeze, lock it up.
My biggest regret with that tweet, I still figured it out.
Is that you said lock it up?
No, is that I did not include A&M. I still don't have a name for them yet, but I will amend that tweet shortly.
Now, I'm actually very disappointed in you.
In me?
Yeah, you know when you see a tweet, but it's like very old, but it somehow comes up to the top of your timeline?
When you say very old, like hours old? Like from like 10 hours ago, 19 hours ago?
Because I know maybe this was there. Retweeted over the weekend. That's how I saw it.
Okay.
But I didn't know that you got freezing cold takes. Old takes exposed.
I got exposed.
Now, I'm trying to find this. What do I have to search to?
It was Tennessee. If you search Tennessee, it was the week before Tennessee, Georgia was playing. Tennessee just took Kentucky to the woodshed. And I said, Kentucky's the best team in the country. Can't wait for them to go beat Georgia next week.
Okay, so I just searched.
Did not go well.
Ryan _ Hickey. You want me to search Tennessee?
Well, that's what the tweet had. It was about the Vols.
Gotcha.
That let's just say exposed or resurfaced after their lackluster performance in Athens on that Saturday in November.
Gotcha. So I'm kind of disappointed in you.
Did not go very well. Why?
Because you never told me that you got called out by freezing cold takes. That's like,
I was debating
awesome.
It. I felt personally like a little weird saying, hey, look at me. I got
But hold on.
Exposed.
You're the king of hot takes, and you know that I enjoy when you get things wrong or we talk about them. So when old takes expose freezing cold takes, whatever the site is, calls you out for the first time ever, and you don't tell me, and I find out that this is weeks old? Yeah. That's a bad job out of you.
I'm actually a little surprised you didn't see it. I just feel weird, like not
I'm
braggadocious.
I'm surprised it never came up in conversation off the air. There's one thing if you don't want to say it on the air, but how you didn't say it off the air is nuts.
Yeah, a lot of Georgia fans were not. Which is, what I don't understand is your team just clearly just beat the snot out of Tennessee. Like,
not sure who heads to. What'd you write?
Not sure who needs to hear this.
Yeah, you wrote. Who heads to hear this in your tweet?
I'm probably a little banged up too.
But Tennessee's the best team in the country. Can't wait for them to beat Georgia next week. So not only are you going viral for this, you didn't even write who needs to hear this correctly. Now, anytime you tweet about college football on a Saturday, is it safe to say that you have a few pops in you?
No, that is not true. That is not true. I'm not even sure.
Not sure who heads to hear this. Yeah.
Unfortunately, I saw that tweet a lot because a lot of Georgia fans were very upset.
Mm-hmm. You want me to?
I never.
You want me to text it to you? Who?
No, I have it right here. But interesting.
You see that though, right? Correct.
I have a lot of I have a lot of Tennessee tweets. Holy cow!
I'm surprised no one responded back. Like, learn how to spell, you idiot. Like, especially on Twitter. None of those tweets. Hickey's now like, Marco. He's
all grown up.
He's rattled.
Marco, whose side are you on?
Look at him right now.
That's right.
Wow, that's actually embarrassing. Not that the take was wrong, that he spelled it so poorly.
I am embarrassed.
That's actually worse. Let's be fair. That's worse.
That is 10 times worse. Who heads to hear this? Wow, that's really bad.
Not sure who heads to hear this, but
I hate
Tennessee
that.
Is the best team in the country. Can't wait for them to beat Georgia next week. First
God,
off,
I need an
the
edit
take
button
wasn't
here.
Just wrong. It was really wrong. And you can't spell. Man.
Yeah, the not spelling is actually worse than...
Now, wait. Do you have an edit button?
No, I didn't pay for
it. Oh, okay. Because I see you typing away right now.
You
like
could pay for that
over.
Now?
Yeah, isn't that part of the new features? Edit?
Yeah,
right?
I don't know.
I think if you pay for verification now, you could have an edit.
Like if you look, like I just saw his profile recently. If you look next to Adam Schefter's profile, it has a little pencil. I believe that's the mark of like an account who's able to edit tweets. So I guess in case, you know, the edit button, let's get say used for trickery situations, you kind of have a heads up.
Yeah, I have no clue.
Wow.
I would never pay for verification. Like I'm verified on Twitter, but if they told me I'm losing my blue check mark, or I could pay like $8 a month to keep it, I would say, okay, I'm not paying $8 a month.
I never tried. Now, I know this is not a shock to either one of you.
You would get verified.
I know I would. Mm-hmm. I never even get it. Yeah,
I know I'm a big
deal.
Well,
how hard is it?
Who heads to hear this?
Oh, but I mean, like, how hard is it? We have the work email. Yeah, it's done. It's not like it's not a difficult thing to do. You just got to give your information. I have no interest in doing that.
I wouldn't pay for myself to get verified, but I think I would pay to verify Marco's account.
Why?
I don't know.
It's a waste of time.
I think it would be fun. All right. Well, Marco Belledia, I want to go to you on this real quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Wilson asked yesterday after his team had 7 total yards of offense in the second half. Defense was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like you let the defense down? He said no. That has to annoy you, right? You being a man of accountability. He took zero accountability yesterday.
He's a child. And unfortunately, you're with a bunch of grown men in that locker room that are all going to stare at you. Now, they knew it before you said it, but now you turned around and couldn't take the accountability and the responsibility to look inside and say, look, today I screwed up. I was awful. It happens. And everybody would have been fine with it. There's not one guy in that locker room that would have turned on him. Now, they might have quietly looked around and go, we may not be able to win with this guy. They might question it, but they would never question if you have a bad day and you turn around and say, I didn't play well today. When you say no and you walk away and you make it sound like, again, like a 7-year-old, where I did my job even though you didn't. Everybody in that locker room is going to look at you differently.
We had former Jets offensive lineman Lijay Dusable on today, and he said the same thing that you just said. He goes, look at Josh Allen a few weeks ago. Played bad against the Jets afterwards, said I played like bleep. His entire team then said, it's not John Josh. If we lose as a team, we win it as a team, all that. The fact that Zach Wilson couldn't say yesterday, I played terribly, that's on me. The defense gave you a great effort yesterday. Right. I need to do better by them so we could win games. This is not even a story. Now it's a story. Not only that, now the coach is annoyed because the coach today wouldn't even commit to him to start next week because he knows inside the locker room, and even Lijay Dusable talked about this, even though the defensive players like Quinnen Williams, who's a great leader, comes out today and goes, yeah, I have no problem with Zach, fully believe in him, blah, blah, blah. Down deep, those guys on defense have to be annoyed, A, because there's a question if this guy is the quarterback, but B, he can't even step up and say, this was on me. I got to be better.
I don't know if Robert Saleh is going to pull the plug for a week. Because you can always go back to Zach Wilson. But now he had to come out and say, I can't guarantee you he'll play Sunday.
Make him sweat a little bit.
Because of the way Zach Wilson handled that. If he knows deep down in his heart, look, I'm going to go with Zach. He gives me the best chance to win. I need this game against the Bears. I'm going to go with Zach Wilson. Yeah. If he knew that and Zach Wilson had took an accountability yesterday, it wouldn't be a problem. It wouldn't be a story and he wouldn't have came out and said it. He had to do this for his locker room because, again, they're looking around. All you have to do, and this is really something that we talk about all the time. Why is it so difficult to just stand up and say, you know what? On me. Today's on
100%.
Me. I had nothing today. Even if you don't 100% believe it, you can go home and tell your wife or your friends or your dog or whoever the hell wants to hear it that you weren't the problem and everybody else screwed up. When you're in front of the cameras, when you're in front of your teammates, you stand up, you take it, and then you walk away. What is so difficult? And everybody has such a problem with this.
It's why I always poke fun in our business when talk show hosts can't say, oh, I was wrong, or oh, I got this one wrong. I get paid to talk about sports 4 hours a day, 5 days a week, and then also on Sunday, I'm on for 8 hours as well. I'm going to get things wrong, but it's amazing when you get something wrong, and these are just like opinions, that you just can't say, oh, I got that one wrong. I thought this team was a guarantee to win. And there's so many people in our business that can't even do that.
Again, it's not just in this business. It's in general life. It's in life. Everybody will tell you, oh, come on, all you got to do is take accountability. And then when it's their turn, all of a sudden it's the finger pointing. No one ever wants to be wrong. We're all like that. No one likes to be wrong.
Yeah.
But there's nothing wrong with coming out and saying it. Yeah, this one was on me. You get more from that than you do from everything else. We all know it. And there are some people that just can't do it.
Now, I'm going to preface this by saying this may be one of the takes that tomorrow I may be saying I was wrong about.
Mm-hmm.
I'm mad at my sister and my brother-in-law. Really mad.
Okay.
Thanksgiving's my favorite time of the year. I'm about to be an uncle. My sister.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations.
My sister moved to
Colorado. Not that you're doing anything,
but yeah. My sister moved to Colorado with her husband. So pretty much now that's the priority. Totally understand. Baby was supposed to be born on the 17th. Baby hasn't been born yet. I kind of got the news today that my mom and my dad are not going to come back for Thanksgiving, which I kind of had the sense that it was going to happen.
Right.
But I'm mad at my sister and then also my brother-in-law. They know how big of a deal Thanksgiving is. It is the biggest holiday in our family. We have lasagna. Turkey's overrated. It sucks. They should have waited a month.
You couldn't figure this stuff out 9-10 months ago?
When is that they were basically in the sheets, they should have waited a month.
They should have thought about Thanksgiving.
Yep. So I said to my brother-in-law today, if you have a second kid, remember, due date cannot even be in the month of November.
This sounds like professional sports where you got to know out of season. You got to do the math before you try to figure everything out. You got to make sure you have the kid.
They had a bad internal play clock, let's just say.
All right. I never really thought of that for us regular people.
I'm going to my parents' house tonight. They're already in Colorado. They've been there for like the last 5 days. They've just been waiting and waiting and waiting.
I was going to say, and I would imagine they're not coming back quickly.
No. I understand.
Get the hang of their first grandkid?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
of course.
Yes,
yeah,
yes,
right.
Yes, yes. Or the first one we know about.
Which is the same.
Yeah. So anyway, my dad froze the lasagna that we make. So it's in the freezer right now. I have to go get the lasagna tonight, and then there's a cake, an icebox cake that I make. So I have to go make that cake tonight. So I have to go to Long Island tonight and make the cake, then get the lasagna and transport it back into the city because tomorrow's the only day I could go home.
Wait a minute. They're not here. Who's this for? You?
Oh, well, I am doing the good thing here. I'm going to my grandparents' house. My 95-year-old grandfather.
And you're bringing dinner.
And I'm bringing it. And then I have my uncle and his wife, my aunt, coming up from Florida. And then my other uncle and aunt are driving down as well. So Thanksgiving's usually on my dad and my mom to make everything. So I have.
So you're still getting Thanksgiving with most of the family, just not your sister and your parents?
It's bad
you're complaining?
Planning. Well, here's the thing. My grandma, because she's older now and she gets worried.
Right.
She tries to cancel Thanksgiving every year because she doesn't like when people travel when there's a big volume of traffic. So this morning at 7 o'clock, I get an email from my grandma. Don't think Uncle Michael and Aunt Deb are coming right now. Thanksgiving's going to be canceled. 30 minutes later, it's back on. I call my grandma. I go, Grandma, I love you. Thanksgiving's not canceled. Everyone's coming. I call my aunt, my uncle.
There's no snow coming.
They said we're all coming. That's what it was. It was the weather.
Yeah.
I go, there's no bad weather in the forecast.
Yeah, you're good there.
So it's just all the issues that I usually don't have to deal with are now on my plate because I've been kind of now been named the captain of this Thanksgiving, and now I'm dealing with everything, so I'm mad at I'm happy for my sister and my brother-in-law. Yeah. Obviously, it's going to be great to be an uncle, but
you know what this
wait
is?
A month next
You know
time.
What this is? Mm-hmm. This is adulthood, and it sucks.
Yeah.
Welcome to it.
Yeah, but I don't, this is not my,
it sucks.
Not me having the kid.
Well, wait.
This is out of my control.
Wait, no, yeah. Once you're there, then everything else goes out the window. Then you don't care about nothing. There's nothing.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. You'll hear from Dawson Knox next. Coming up with the latest CBS Sports Radio update right now is El Capitan, and a man that always is accountable if he does anything ever wrong. He never does around here. By the way, congratulations. First time since you're 15 that you're going to be able to join Thanksgiving this year.
The loser that I am, the first one since 95 that I don't have to work this year, Thanksgiving. My family's going to be like, who the hell are you?
Yeah, they're going to say, please leave. If you need a Thanksgiving, let me know. We have an extra seat this year.
No, I should really show up. I got no excuse now. I should really show up.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Yesterday, I was able to catch up with Dawson Knox after the Buffalo Bills took down the Cleveland Browns in Detroit. Here's the Bills tight end, Dawson Knox.
Dawson, you guys trailed for the majority of the first half, and then right before the end of the first half in the final 15 seconds, you guys were able to put a touchdown on the board. Josh Allen finding Stephon Diggs. Just how did that kind of change the momentum of the game to get a lead going into halftime?
Yeah, we always talk about double dipping, going into half, scoring points, and then coming back out, getting the first possession, and going down and putting more points on the board. So that was a big focus from us, and we had a very slow start on offense. So finally getting into the end zone before the half was huge.
You guys had back-to-back losses. The game had to be moved because of that crazy snowstorm in Buffalo this week. You guys started out trailing. Just why didn't this group wilt under pressure? How'd you guys turn it around?
Yeah, it just shows you we got a pretty resilient group. I mean, from the top to the bottom of the organization, I mean, people were making stuff happen, getting guys to the facility. I mean, we had Buffalonians. We had our neighbors digging us out of driveways. It was like the whole city came together just to make this game happen. So it was really fun to be a part of. It was really cool to see everyone rising up to the occasion.
Your quarterback, Josh Allen, I know he's dealing with an injury. What type of toughness did he show today?
I mean, again, it's almost not even surprising for us. I mean, we just know what that guy's capable of, and he does it week in and week out, despite any type of injury he's dealing with. So he's just a dog. He's shown that every single week since he's been in Buffalo. And, again, he just puts in the work during the week so he can come out on Sundays and ball out.
There's been a lot on his plate. We know he's run the ball a lot this year, only 3 carries today. You saw Devin Singletary and James Cook get going. Was there really more of an emphasis the last few weeks because of the injury that the running backs have to step up and deliver?
It really wasn't even a point of emphasis. It was just we knew that when your play was called, you had to do your part. You had to do your 1-11th, and that's something we focus on a lot as tight ends too, whether it's blocking or catching. So those running backs stepped up big time today. I mean, James Cook, Devin Singletary, everybody across the board was just doing their job, getting open, catching the ball too, but they were running the ball hard. So it's fun blocking for those guys when you see them cutting upfield, making guys miss like that.
Any crazy story for you, how you got to the plane the other day trying to get out of that snowstorm?
You know, I wake up and I got probably 10 neighbors in my driveway shoveling. I got a long driveway too, so they were putting in the work. When they finally got down to me, they were full sweat, laying down in the snow, just trying to cool off. We were trudging out to the street with our suitcases over our heads. I mean, it was, you know, definitely a memory that I'll have for the rest of my life, but it really is a city of good neighbors, and they showed up for us.
Really enjoyed that conversation with Dawson Knox yesterday, and I love the story about the neighbors just showing up to get him out of his driveway. All righty, let's get to the closing bell.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
The quest for an undefeated regular season is still alive for TCU. They just survived against Baylor. I don't know what the heck they were doing at the end of the game, running a play and then running on the field goal kicker, but the kick was good. So give a stock up to Sonny Dykes and the TCU Horn Frogs. Caleb Williams in a victory against UCLA, 502 yards, 3 total touchdowns. And right now he is the leader to win the Heisman Trophy. Give the USC quarterback, the former Oklahoma quarterback, a stock up. Clemson. So you're telling me there's a chance. Yep, there is a chance still for Clemson to make the college football playoff. I don't expect them to, but that's better than their chances a week ago. Give the Clemson Tigers a stock up. Another great performance for Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce, 3 total touchdowns. Patrick Mahomes throws the game winner to Travis Kelce. Chiefs once again beat the Chargers. Give a stock up to Patty Mahomes and Travis Kelce. Eagles down by 10 entering the fourth quarter. Not a problem. They find a way to win 17-16 over the Indianapolis Colts. Jalen Hurts with the game-winning rushing touchdown for 7 yards out. Give Jalen Hurts a stock up. Joe Mixon out with an injury. Samaje Perine steps up. 3 receiving touchdowns. Give him a stock up. How about them Cowboys? How about Tony Pollard? 15 carries for 80 yards. Also had 6 receptions for 109 yards and 2 touchdowns. Cowboys just dismantle the Vikings 40-3. Give a stock up to Tony Pollard. The Broncos in the battle of incompetence going up against the Las Vegas Raiders. They were up by 3, 3rd and 10, coming out of the 2-minute warning. Very easy. Run the ball. Instead, they trusted Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson doesn't take a sack, doesn't fall down, throws the ball out of bounds. Raiders get the ball, tie up the game with the field goal, could have got a touchdown. And then an overtime walk-off Devontae Adams score. Give a stock down to the Broncos just for another incompetent loss. Minnesota, last week, you beat the Bills. This week, I didn't think you were going to win, but you couldn't even keep it close. You have 2 losses this year. Yeah, you take 8-2, but you had 2 blowout losses to the Eagles, and then the Cowboys. Give them a stock down. Zach Wilson takes 0 accountability. It was the easiest question you'd ever be asked. After yesterday's horrible performance, do you feel like you let down the defense? All you had to say was yes. That's all you had to say. And you couldn't even say that. Stock down to Zach Wilson. And finally, I'm giving a stock up to the South Carolina Gamecocks. Spencer Rattler. Not 1, not 2, not 3, not 4, not 5, but 6 passing touchdowns. Give a stock up to Spencer Rattler. And that's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Big thanks to Hot Take Hickey. He will be hosting this show tomorrow. I will not be here. Make sure you call him Hot Take Hickey. Make sure you call him. I want Hot Take Hickey calls all 4 hours tomorrow. I'll be back on Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. All right. Have a great week, everybody. Have a good Monday evening. I'll chat with you Wednesday. Hickey tomorrow. And that's it. All righty. Bye-bye. We'll talk to you then. We out. Let me say it for you.
What's up, everybody? Guess who's hosting a new podcast? No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith. Listen as I pull back the curtain on everything beyond the world of sports, interviewing influential guests, outspoken celebrities, and thought leaders across the political, financial, and social spectrum. You know me. I'll give you my unbiased opinion. A No Mercy episode drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith, a presentation of Cadence 13 and Odyssey Studio, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcast.